Well, old Jack and old John had been members of the parish council for as long as anyone could remember. They were always at odds with each other, especially in church meetings. They would never agree on anything. When one would vote yes, the other would vote no. One day, Jack died and arrived at Heaven's Gate. He noticed how everyone was asked a question before they were allowed in. When it was his turn, St. Peter said, "Hello, Jack. To see if you qualify to come in, I have to ask you to spell the word Jesus." "That's easy," said Jack, and he spelled J-E-S-U-S. Peter complimented Jack and then asked if he would do him a little favor. "Just take over the gates for a few minutes for me." Several people were waiting at the gate, and Jack asked each one to spell the name Jesus. Then Jack could hardly believe his eyes. His lifelong enemy, John, was in line. "What are you doing here?" John asked. "I'm just filling in for St. Peter. I'm asking everyone to spell a word before they can go through the pearly gates." "Oh yeah," John said. "What's the word?" And after thinking a moment, Jack said, "Albuquerque." So in today's gospel, we have Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven, and that if you follow the Beatitudes and live a life in conformity to Christ, we will, it says, have a great reward in heaven. Your reward, Jesus says, will be great in heaven. So these are today's gospel. St. Luke gives us his version of the Beatitudes. We also have them found in St. Matthew's gospel. And it's a good idea sometime to compare the two, because obviously Jesus gave different sermons on different times and he emphasized different things. For example, the sermon I would have given maybe last night at 5 o'clock will be a lot different than the one I give today at 11, right? Because you add things, you subtract things, you change things, you focus on different things. In Matthew's account, Jesus gives us 8 Beatitudes. In Luke's account, Jesus gives us 4 Beatitudes and 4 warnings, 4 woes. In Matthew's account, Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. So he's up on the mountain when he gives us the Beatitudes. Today, Luke tells us this is a sermon on level ground. This is called the Sermon on the Plain, to differentiate it from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. In Matthew's account, Jesus says, "Blessed are they." Blessed are they, blessed are they. In Luke's account, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you." Matthew's account, Jesus focuses more on the spiritual. In Luke, more on the physical. What do I mean by that? Well, in Matthew, in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He emphasizes poor in spirit. And whereas in Luke, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." See the difference. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied." In Luke, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger, for they will be satisfied." You see the difference. Again, in the two, it's a good idea to compare the two. Again, Jesus gave these on different occasions, emphasizing different things. So today, though, we have St. Luke, and Jesus gives us 4 Beatitudes. And he says, "Blessed are you." Now, what does that word "blessed" mean? It's a very important word. It's found throughout all of Scripture. It's the opposite of cursed. You know, a blessing. When somebody is blessed, it means a lot more than being fortunate or being lucky or being happy. It really means being approved in the sight of God, being given special graces and acceptance by God, a special relationship, a special friendship with God. So this is what he's saying, that Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you experience these things." And the 4 things Jesus says are poverty, hunger, weeping, and being hated. Doesn't sound very good, does it? These are things that the world says, well, you don't want to be poor, you don't want to be hungry, you don't want to weep, and you don't want to be hated. So why does Jesus say that those who experience these things are blessed? Why are they blessed? Well, because this world is not the end. This world is temporary. Those who experience these things can perhaps have happiness for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Again, let's look at these things individually. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Jesus himself was poor. The Holy Family was poor. They were refugees. They were exiles. They had lost their home. They lost everything. They couldn't even afford a lamb at the presentation. They could only afford two pigeons or two turtle doves. Jesus himself, when he was being crucified, only had a handful of garments, and they divided those among the soldiers. They cast lots for his robe. That's all he had in his whole life. So Jesus himself experienced a great poverty and lived a life of poverty. Why are the poor blessed? Well, the poor can tend to be more dependent upon God. Perhaps they ask God for help. Those who are self-satisfied, perhaps the rich, don't often, perhaps, become as dependent upon God. Maybe they think that they're self-sufficient, that they don't need God. Whereas the poor are dependent upon God and upon others for help. And Jesus says that the poor, it says, will receive the kingdom of God. And then he says, blessed are you who are now hungry. Jesus himself experienced great hunger for 40 days, 40 nights in the desert, fasting and praying for 40 days. Jesus knows what it's like to be starving, to be hungry. And Jesus says, blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. The kingdom of heaven is a banquet. It's a feast. It's always described as a wedding feast with plenty of food and drink in abundance. Then Jesus says, blessed are you who are now weeping, for one day you will laugh. Jesus himself wept over Jerusalem because they had rejected him. And Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. So Jesus knows what it's like to lose a loved one. And again, Jesus wept over the whole city of Jerusalem for not accepting him and for rejecting God's graces and God's mercy. And we too, of course, weep. We weep over abortion, the taking of innocent human life in the mother's womb. We weep over child abuse in society and especially in the church. We weep over domestic violence. We weep over terrorism. We weep over war and famine and pestilence and plagues. We weep over these things. And of course, we should weep over our own sins and the sins of others. I remember reading the biography of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests. And when people would come to him and go to confession, John Vianney would start weeping. He himself would start crying. And the person would say, why are you crying, Father Vianney? He says, I'm crying because you're not crying. In other words, they were confessing their sins, but were they really sorry for their sins? Were they weeping over their sins? And he could read souls, so he could tell who was really sincere and who wasn't. But he himself wept when he would hear these sins because he was so sorry for them. So Jesus says, you who weep now will one day laugh. Then Jesus says, blessed are you when you're hated, when you're excluded, when you're insulted, when you're denounced as evil on account of the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus. That's his own title for himself, the messianic title. And he says, rejoice and leap for joy on that day, for your reward will be great in heaven. So Jesus himself was hated, he was scorned, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was crucified. And he says his followers will be treated the same way. If you're a follower of Christ, these things are bound to happen to you. Someone once said, if it were against the law to be a Christian, would we be arrested? Would there be enough evidence against us to have us arrested, right? If it was illegal or against the law to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence against us? That's a very good thing to ponder. So Jesus says, if you're hated by someone for being a follower of Christ, he says, rejoice, your reward will be great in heaven. And lastly, Jesus ends by giving four warnings. He says, woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are now filled, woe to you who now laugh, woe to you when all speak well of you. Well, the word woe means be careful. It's a warning. Be warned. Be aware. be careful. It's not saying that the people will be damned or condemned. It just gives them a warning. Be careful, you who are rich or now filled or now laugh. What is the Lord referring to? He's again giving warning, for example, to those who are rich, because having the blessing of riches, and riches are a blessing, they can be used for tremendous good, to help people, to help the poor, to help others. But those who are rich could also give in to avarice and greed and selfishness. That's where the sin comes. Riches can be a great blessing, or they can become someone's god. And we've had great saints who were very wealthy, kings and queens who are canonized saints, who were fabulously wealthy. But what did they do with their wealth? They did not use it selfishly or for greed and avarice, but they were generous to help the needy and the poor. And Jesus says, "Woe to you who are now filled, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, those who are involved in hedonism and the party spirit, or always seeking pleasure, will one day weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for they treated the false prophets in the same way." So these are, again, Jesus' teaching on his four blessings, the four Beatitudes, as well as the four warnings. So again, when we come before the pearly gates, the kingdom of heaven, we're not going to be asked to spell Jesus or even Albuquerque, but we will be asked, did we try to live a life in conformity with the Beatitudes, with the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?